You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Today I've got a bit of a cold, so you got to help me today. I'm not gonna preach long, but I really believe this is gonna kind of set the foundation of a new series. We're calling it Brand New, and we're gonna be looking through the book of Peter. And hopefully next week I'll do also straight after the service. I'll have some questions and answers and do some different things, but to help us understand this book. What I want us to do is to know our Bibles. How many know we should know our Bibles? Listen, it's all well and good you come into church and you hear the preacher, but you should be listening to the preacher and then going back and reading your Bible and saying, did the preacher tell me what was in the Bible? I don't want people coming to church and then quoting me. Said the pastor said this and the pastor said that. A lot of people get their lives in trouble because they do not read their Bible. They just listen to what a man says. That is not the type of church we're trying to build here. What we're trying to do is, I'm up here pointing to Jesus saying, you know what? His word is true. He is faithful. He will save us. He'll deliver us and we'll encourage you. But we need to know our Bibles. And so we're going to look into, over the next few weeks, one book of the Bible, which is the book of Peter. And reason why this, I really believe this is going to be good, because we've had a lot of people recently saved. And once you get saved, you may be thinking, what's next? What do I do now? And so you're going to learn through the book of Peter what is next. And also, some of you have been saved a while, and you'd be like, you know what? I want to have maximum effectiveness. I want to grow in my Christianity. We're going to believe that God is going to help you with that. And there's others of us that we may be going through trials. And when you go through those trials, I want to tell you, God is going to strengthen you so that you can go through this thing and survive and make it out the other side. And so, recently, I was speaking to a friend of mine. He's not in the church. And he was telling me that he was having some car problems. And so we were talking about it. And so he had bought a car. He didn't want to invest too much money. He'd bought a car about a year ago, maybe, And so it wasn't a brand new car. I think it was maybe under 5,000. And so it's a sizable amount of money, but obviously it's not a brand new car. And so he bought this car and he's going backward and forward with it. And recently he's having some problems with this car. So he took it to the garage. And the guy said, listen, there's a lot going on here. We may have to take it to a specialist. And so the specialist came back to him and said, we can fix it. Basically, we need to almost give your car a new engine. It's going to need a whole new engine. How many of that's going to cost money? And so they come back with a quote of £2,000. Now, remember, the car didn't cost £5,000. And so he was speaking to me and he was like, you know what? They're saying it's going to have it's basically an old car with a new engine. And so the seats are going to be old, the steering wheel is old, it's just an old car, but with a new engine. The window screen is, everything is old, but the engine. And so he was weighing it up and he just came back and he said, you know what, I'm not putting that money in that. I'm not going to invest in that. I'm going to take my money, take the £2,000, add something, do something else. And so I was thinking about that because sometimes this is how many people can be living their life. They're trying to put a new thing into an old thing. They're trying to put this new Christian life into their old Christian life. They're trying to put new Christianity, new life that God wants to give us. But what they're doing is they're living with patches. They've got a bit of old and a bit of new. Listen, if I have a choice, we all don't have a choice, but if I have a choice, I'd rather a new car than an old car with a new engine. How many of you are with me? Some of you are with me. Some of you didn't get it. When you go home, it will occur to you and you'll get amen. But the reality is God wants to give you a new life. God doesn't want to put some new stuff in some old stuff. God wants to give you a brand new life. And in the title of this, I said brand new life. And then underneath, what I put is, and this is taken from the Message Bible text. It says, we have been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. I want to tell you right here, if you give your life to Jesus, you have everything to live for. Look at your neighbor and say, you have everything to live for. Because I need you to help me because I got a cold and I need you to help me preach this. Amen. Okay, let's go into the text. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. The Bible says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's just pray. Father, we ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, give me strength. Give me revelation. Father, and I pray that our hearts would be open to the word. Let us have a true understanding of who Christ is. Let us leave here strengthened, energized with a new joy, new peace, and new strength. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. And the real Christian said, amen. And so, let me speak about, this first sermon is going to be called A New Hope. So the whole series is brand new, but I want to speak about receiving a new hope. Imagine you was caught doing a crime. I know none of you have ever done a crime, so just imagine. You have to get your imagination in gear. But imagine you was caught doing a crime, something like stealing money from a bank, and they got you on the CC camera, and now you're waiting to be charged, or you're waiting to be sentenced, but you're locked up at the moment. And one of the solicitor comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to do my best to try get you into a good cell that has Wi-Fi. I'm going to try my best. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, nice to have some Wi-Fi. You know, at least I can be on the line and doing things and what. And so you're hoping that I can move cell. And he's saying, he comes back to you, he says, at the end of the month, we're going to put you in this nice cell. It's still a cell. You're still in prison. But we're going to put you in this nice cell. It's going to have Wi-Fi. And so you're hoping at the end of the month, you're counting the days. A few days in, somebody comes back to you and the solicitor says, we've been contacted by the bank. And one of the owners of the bank has paid the debt. And what they've done is they said at the end of the month, you're going to be released. How many know that's a new hope? At one time, you was hoping just for a better cell. You'd still be locked up, but you was just hoping for a few little trinkets, a few little gadgets, a few little privileges in the cell. But then a message comes to you and says, listen, somebody has paid for you, and now you are going to be freed at the end of the month. Imagine if they come to you and they said, hey, so what kind of Wi-Fi do you want? Forget a Wi-Fi. I'm going to be free. See, that is what we are saying. When you became a Christian, God is not just going to give you some trinkets and for you to remain in a cell, for you still remain in bondage to the old things and the old habits of depression and loneliness and still be encapsulated in these old things and these old ways. The new hope that we have is not a place. We're not hoping for a place like, oh, once I get, you know, I go to this place or that place in life. The new hope we have is not a possession. Once I get this or I get that. Our hope, our new hope, is not a place and it's not a possession. It's a person. See, as a Christian, see, I'm going to get deep this week. Look at someone say it's going to go deep. Yeah, so you got to get this. Our hope is a person. Every person here is a Christian. Your hope is a person, and that person is one individual, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is who our hope is. This is why in our text he says that we have a living hope, because how many know Jesus Christ is alive? You can scour this planet with a fine-tooth comb. You will not find the body of Jesus Christ. You could do one of those CSIs, scanning things for the rest of your life. You will not find the body of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because yes, he did die on the cross for our sin. But yes, on the third day, he rose. He took up once again his life. And he is alive. And he is alive forevermore. This is why we have hope. This is why we have a living hope. Look what Peter says. Remember, we're going into the book of Peter. Take notes. Type it down. Do your thing. So you need to go back and understand this. 1 Peter 1 verse 4. Do we have that up there? 1 Peter 1 verse 4, it says, this is speaking about the hope we have, an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. That means it can't be faded away, it can't be corrupted, it can't go off, it doesn't deteriorate, undefiled, and that does not fade away, but reserved in heaven. See, so many times, the problem is we're living with old hopes. See, if you've made, let me just say this, if you've made a car your hope, oh, I can't wait till I get that car, oh, my life is all about this, get this car, I've got to get this car. Can I tell you, that car's fading. That means you have a fading hope. The thing that you're hoping in, the thing that you're putting your life in is fading. Maybe it's a house, I'm going to get a house, it's fading. Everything that many times people have their hope that they're living for is fading. That's why your hope fades. See, because it's a temporal thing. Even if my hope, listen, I like my car, thank you, Jesus. I like my house, thank you, Jesus. I'm married, I love Francis. Ooh, yeah. Love that woman, man. But she loves me. No, there wasn't a but. I was going to say something else, but I just thought, let me put that in there. But if one of us was to go to be with the Lord, we would still have hope, because we don't hope in each other. We hope in Christ. See, everything is fading. And if you have a hope in the things of here and now, let me ask you, young person, old person, no matter where you're from, what is your hope? What are you, oh, once I get that, then my life will really begin. Then I'll really start. How many times have we done this, and when we got what we wanted, it wasn't really what we wanted? See, it's a fading hope. This is not what God wants. God wants to give you a new hope. See, with Jesus, our hope is always alive, because he's always alive. Your hope is always alive when your hope is with Jesus. If I put my hopes in Jesus, basically, this is the main thing that I'm living for. This is the main thing. It doesn't mean you can't have a car, a house, or a spouse. It doesn't mean those things. We're not saying you can't have them. What we're saying is our hope, what we anchor our whole existence and life on, is going to be on Christ, because there we have a living hope. Because can I tell you this? Sometimes in your marriage, you don't see much good going on. You go through troubled times. But I want to tell you, even though you don't see, you could be having problems in your marriage, but can I tell you, hope is alive. Why? Because Jesus is alive. See, you may not see, I don't see what's happening here. This is difficult right now. This relationship is what's happening here? Can I tell you, hope is alive because Jesus is alive. Sometimes people are going to let you down. How many people let you down? People let you down. Yeah, I'm going to hook you up. And they still ain't hooked you up. Oh, yeah, I got your back. They barely got your front. The reality is, people let you down. But I want to tell you, even when people let you down, and some people, they get jaded. I ain't trusting nobody. Ah, start going on like that. All men are dogs. I love saying that one. No, listen, as I always say, I'm no dog. All women, can't trust them. No. See, the problem is, people will let you down. People make mistakes, but hope is alive. Turn to someone and say, hope is alive. You go, help me preach this. I got a cold, so you help me preach this. Listen, sometimes you let you down. How many of you, that's a hard one, when you let you down. You know, we're coming to, as I was coming in, one of the pastors of Deeper Life, he shook my hand, brother. He says, the year's gone so quick. I was like, you know what, you're right. You know, next month, it's the end of the year. End of the year has gone so quick. Some of us, we started diets a year ago. I mean, we let ourselves down. Look at someone and say, hope is alive. Hope is alive. Praise God. Hope is alive. Because even when I let myself down, see, some of you, you've been coming to church and you said, you know what, I'm going to make this Christian thing work. I'm going to do this. I love the church. I love what's going on. I love what's happening. I'm involved in this. I'm involved in that. And then you blew it. And now you're like, oh. But I want to tell you, your hope is not in your own ability. Your hope is not in your own righteousness or in your own strength or in your own wisdom. Your hope is alive because your hope is in Jesus. Because He is our hope. See, Peter knows this because remember when Jesus says, when they're having the Last Supper, Jesus gets up, yeah, you know what, guys? You're going to have a tough time soon. All of you guys, you're not going to have my back. Peter gets, what? All of these brothers will leave you. I don't know if he said brothers. All of these brethren will leave you, but I won't. That's what he says. And Jesus is like, no, you will. You will. And he keeps saying it. No, I won't. I mean, when Jesus says you will, it's probably best for you to say, yeah. Okay, let me sit back down. I probably will. Just look at John and James. Yeah, I think I will. That was a bit silly, man. You know when you say something and you just... But he's like, no, I won't. Because he was relying on his own ability and his own strength. And how many times have we been there that we say, oh, I'd never do that. Or, I'd never do this. And we even talk about people that do things. And then lo and behold, we end up going and doing the very thing we spoke about. And then we want to give up. I want to say, don't give up today, because Peter messed up. Peter messed up. And then later on he writes, listen, we have a living hope. See, when Jesus is your hope, you have a living hope. There's some of you here today, you're not a Christian yet. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may have even come here just to see what was going on here. Someone invited you to something and you wasn't fully sure what it's about. I want to tell you that you know in your heart, if you're honest with yourself, you know that something's not right. You know in your heart that I want to do right, but it's like I can't do right. I want to tell you today, you might be trying to figure this thing out in your head and saying, how can I do this? How can I change? How can I? You don't have to figure it all out. All you have to do is call on Jesus. All you have to do is call on Jesus, and then He's going to work it out for you. Like Pastor Brandon said in the prayer, listen, Jesus is in the business of forgiving people, restoring people. See, this hope is very, very important. You know, how many times we've heard so many stories about people that were famous that have, committed suicide, given up on life, and it's so sad. And this is why I'm saying hope is so important, because what you got to appreciate today is in hope is where all your joy comes from. Your joy comes from your hope. In hope is where your peace comes from where your hope is. Your strength comes from what you're hoping in. Let me show you. You may be thinking, how does that work? You see, when people lose hope, they lose joy. When someone has no hope, when we say it's a hopeless situation, it's very hard to have joy when you've lost hope. When you don't have hope, it's very hard to have peace. You see people that just don't have peace, inner peace, because they lose hope. And strength, sometimes people are living their life and they're like, this is difficult. And there may be some of you here is that you're losing joy. You're losing joy on the inside. We're not talking about happiness, like you, pretend to be happy. I was the biggest guy that could pretend to be happy before I came to Jesus. Pretending to be happy. I was only happy when I was high or drunk. Because I lost true joy. Joy is this inner happiness that comes from within. And some of you here, even Christians, you may be, your joy is wavering. Can I tell you, it's connected to your hope. There's others here, your peace. You seem to not have peace. You seem to be agitated, seem to be vexed, seem to be just up and down. There seems to be no peace. Others, it could be strength. At one time, you had that zeal and that energy. And yeah, I was going for it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Not just for spiritual things, but even for life. And now you've become lethargic. Now it's like, I can't be bothered. Now you get up late and do everything slow and not getting life done. And I want to tell you today, it's because of your hope. When Jesus is your hope, your joy and your peace and your strength is protected. Look what it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 5. I love the Bible, by the way. Just thought I'd tell you that, throw that out there. How many love the Bible? Two of you there, praise God. We'll talk afterwards. 1 Peter 1, verse 5. Look, because I'm keeping it all in the text. It says, who are kept, that word kept means to be guarded, by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the fullness of my salvation has not yet been revealed. That means you haven't seen the best of me. Look at someone say, you haven't seen the best of me yet. Amen. People giving up on you. They haven't seen what you're really about yet. So just chill. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, there's a lot in that text, but what I want to pull out is one, it said that when we have hope in Christ, he protects our joy, he protects our peace, and he protects our strength. And we know this because he says that even though he, listen to what he said, he says he has the ability to rejoice even when he's grieved. Hold on. How can I rejoice when I'm not happy? Because happiness is about what's happening at that moment in time. That's why happiness is like, oh, you gave me a present. Great. Oh, they got a present. I didn't get one. Oh, I'm not happy. That's temporal. But what he's saying is, if I go through a tough situation, I don't like it, but I still have the ability to rejoice. Because when my hope is in Christ, my joy is protected. When my hope is in Christ, my peace is protected. When my joy is in Christ, my strength is protected. See, when you hope in things that are fading, then your hope and your... Sorry, when you hope in things which are fading, then your joy is going to fade. When you hope in things which are fading, then your peace is fading. You have this temporal peace. When you hope in things which are fading, your strength is fading. Now, I want an illustration. I always need volunteers. This is the favorite part of the sermon. Martin looks happy. Come on, come up here. Give him a round of applause. Come on, Olu. It's got to be. These guys are just naturals. Give them a round of applause. These guys are on another level. Amen. Stand here. Just stand here. Let's come over here. No, okay, yeah, you stand here. You stand there. Praise God. I still need some more guys. Okay. I'm going to, because I love you. Better pay me later, man, because I'm having grace on you. Here we go. Rico. Oh, yeah. Rico, come on. You're going to like this one. You're Jesus. Hallelujah. We still need some more people. So need some more people. Kenny. Kenny's wife. Actually, no, you can stay here. You can stay here. Amen. And so this is how I want. This is a Christian who is got his hope in the things of the world. So Kenny, if you could come over here a second. Just stand here. Stand there. Can you see Kenny? You can see him? Yeah, okay. So Kenny is a thing of the world. Sorry. He's a thing of the world. And so what we have is Ulu is a don't worry, you know, pray for me. And so this is a Christian who has his hope in Jesus. This is Jesus, amen. Could you come forward, Jesus? Just a bit forward here, amen. And so how it works is this, is that Peter says this. He says that his hope, this is a living hope. So Christ is a living hope. And he's saying, even though things are attacking his life, even though things are going wrong in the world, and so let's get David, can you come over here? No, you're not going to come over. Just stand here. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Amen. And so what we want you to do is pretend. The key word is pretend, yeah, because you look like you'd handle yourself, to fight against Kenny, yeah? Yeah, I know it's terrible. It's your boss. Don't worry. Don't worry. Play-Doh's doing well. And so just pretend to fight against him. Just go. Now. Just go over to him and just pull him about a bit, a little bit. Pull him about a bit. Yeah, you don't do nothing. You just let him pull you about a bit. That's revenge, isn't it? For making you make all that tea in the office. Yeah. And so he's pulling him about. See, what's happening is now he's getting nervous because the world is messing with his hope. And so he's getting nervous. And so what we want you to do is, I don't know, hey, you're on your own now. You're on your own. And so what we want you to make him do is, Kenny, we want you to kneel down. Kneel down, just kneel down. Come on, it's just a play. You're not proposing. No need to look at him. And so you made him kneel down. And so you kneel down now. You kneel down. See, what happens is when things go wrong here, things go wrong here. Yeah? When the devil starts messing with your money, your whole life is going down. When the devil starts messing with relationships, this is going down. See, over here, ain't affecting him. Because who are you looking at? Jesus. Now think about this now. Stand up. Stand up again. Do what he does. Yeah, stand up. Kneel down again. Stand up again. See, this is how life is. Life goes up and down. Life will always go up and down. Life will always have problems. You may be up today, someone next to you in your role is down. Next week, they're going to be up, you're going to be down. Christians that have their hope in here are constantly up and down because this is what they're focusing on. This guy here, he's not faded. Okay, let me show you this is where it really gets, I'm already excited. You can go sit down, Kenny, but you come over here quickly. Just come over here. Now stay there, try to reach him.
I can't.
The world can't reach Jesus. Remember what we said? He's incorruptible. Not even death. I could be on a hospital bed and the doctor says, you've got a day to live. But I know that Jesus, the moment I close my eyes, I will open them again and see Jesus. I will be resurrected because my hope died once and rose on the third day. I don't matter what's going on, as long as I focus on Jesus, not even death can reach him. Give him praise. You can go down. Thank you, guys. See, this is why you need this hope. This hope, when your hope is in Christ, your life is protected. You know, last week, I had to interview at Rotherhithe, Pastor Warner for Real Disciples. Plug, Real Disciples. But as I was there interviewing Pastor Warner is like the grandfather of our church, meaning that his church in Tucson sent out Rotherhithe, Rotherhithe sent us out. And so let me give you a little bit of story. Afford me, what's the time like? Yeah, I got time. And so Pastor Warner got saved in the early 70s, I believe. No, late 60s. And so here was this young man, he gets saved. I didn't realize he was OG like this. He was living in a drugs house, Pastor Warner, in the 70s. I think he was doing heroin and that. And so he comes to church and he gets saved. Within 3 years, he gets married. He's a disciple. And he gets sent out to start a new church. How many know he's done everything we would want him to do? He gets married, praise God, he's living for God. He starts a church, he's doing a good thing. He's left behind the drugs and the women and all of that. He's doing a good thing. He goes to start this church. Within 3 days, the people in this little town say, we don't want him. Great, we don't want you. And so on his way back, he has an accident and his car flips over. And as the car flips over, the pressure on his spine pushes down and his spine is damaged and he can't walk. He's paralyzed from the waist down. Here he is in hospital. Think about it. He's done everything we've asked him to do. He's got saved. He's left behind the drugs. He's left behind the women. He's become a disciple. He's in ministry in the church. He gets married. He's going to start a church. We'd be like, that man, God should be blessing him. God owes him. That's how we would think. God owes him. That's how we think. God, you owe me. God, you owe me. I prayed today for 10 minutes. That's how we act, isn't it? And so this is what happens. While he's in the hospital bed, remember, he's paralyzed now. He's only been married a while. He's paralyzed. In him, he says, I want to go start another church. In a wheelchair? You want to start another church? Like, wouldn't we just be like, bro, man? Like, he says, I was like, wasn't you depressed? You're never going to walk again. You're paralyzed. Wouldn't you be asking the question, God, I went and did what you wanted me to do. And this happens to me. If this is the reward I get, stuff you. That's how some of us would think. I'm just keeping it real. Listen, I don't even know how I would think. I said, Pastor. And what he said was, he says, even though all around him, it's like when Kenny was down there, even though this was going on mad, there was madness here, your health, you're not going to walk again, blah, 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 blah. He said, I kept my eyes on Jesus. And he goes out in 1973 to start a church in a wheelchair, him and his wife, and they're handing out flyers. And today, that church is over 1,000 people. We are a legacy of that church. They've sent out over 600 churches all around the world, reaching nations, because this one man said, listen, I'm going to focus on Jesus. He is my hope. You can't touch my hope. You can touch my body, devil, but you can't touch my hope. You can touch my finances, devil, but you can't touch my hope. You can touch my marriage, devil, but you can't touch my hope. You can touch my health, devil, but you can't. Listen, you cannot touch my hope. You can't reach into my hope. Let me close with this. Hope feeds faith. Hope feeds faith. We know that because in Hebrews 11 verse 1, look what it says here. Now faith is the substance of things. What does it say? No, you come on, help me out. I got a cold. What does it say? Hoped for. That means if you have no hopes, you have no need for faith. Because faith gives substance to the thing that you're hoping in. What it says is, faith makes the thing you're hoping in more real. That's what it means. And if you've got no hope, then you would have no faith. See, sometimes we think if life was easier and God gave me everything I wanted, then my Christianity would be better. If my life was easier, God gave me everything I wanted, my Christianity would be better. And so sometimes we think as well that somebody quit because things got too hard. No, that's a misconception. Let me tell you why people quit. People quit because they had a fading hope. You know why people quit? It's because their faith was here. Their hope was here, sorry. If your hope is here, it's only a matter of time before you quit. You're going to quit because your hope is here. If your hope is here, you never quit. You never quit. And you'd be like, but what if I go through a trial? Look what it says here, last scripture. 1 Peter 1, verse 7. We're still in 1 Peter, we're still in chapter 1. This is your Bible. These are the nuggets and the gems that are in the Bible that you own. He says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the honor and the glory at the revelation of Christ. Very simple. What it's saying is that when you have a living hope, it gives you genuine faith. And when you go for a trial, do you know what happens? He says your faith becomes like gold. You know how you make gold pure? You put it through a fire. Right now, you may be going through a fire. Your life is going through a fire. Right now, your life could be going through a trial. And some of you are thinking, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Can I tell you, if your hope is Jesus, you're not only going to make it, you're going to come out purer. You're going to come out purer. Not only are you going to make it, you're going to come out more precious. You're actually going to come out more praiseworthy. This is what the Bible says. It says, your faith is like gold when you put your hopes in Christ. And as you go through that trial, the devil's like, he thought he's got you. He's stirring up, he's firing up his fire on you. And it's like, you're thinking, oh my days, it's almost like you're melting. It's almost like, oh, I don't even know where I am anymore, where I'm going anymore. My mind is attacking your health, your finances, and all of this. But what you got to realize is gold is still gold, even when it's melted. Gold is still gold, even when it's melted. And the beauty of it is that when they melt gold, what they're able to do is pull off all the impurities out of it. See, there's things in you that you're like, God, I don't like this in me. I want to change. And God's like, don't worry. As you go through the fire, as you go through this trial, make sure Jesus is your hope. Because when you come out the other side, listen, you're not losing you. God's not going to lose you. God's not going to eradicate you. What he's doing, he's just taking off the parts that are not gold. He's just taking off the parts that are not gold. I know it feels painful right now, and I know it can be frustrating and confusing and discombobulating and depressing, but I want to tell you, keep your eyes on Jesus. You're going to come through this, and when you come through this, you're going to come out the other side, and you're going to be more precious than you went in with. See, one day we're going to stand before God, and we're not going to be able to give God our car, our house, our clothes. God ain't going to care about that. One time I went somewhere, and some people gave me a gift. It was a nice gift. It was a monetary gift. They gave me a monetary gift. And so I was like, no, I'm fine. I don't want it. They didn't have much money. It's in another country. They gave me in their currency. And I was like, no, I'm fine. I was like, no, we want you to have this. I'm like, fine, please, I don't need it. No, please. They said, give us the privilege of blessing you. No problem, okay. They give it to me. In their currency, it was like hundreds and hundreds of their currency. When I turned it into pounds, it was less than 50 pounds. It was less than 50 pounds. But to me, it was precious because it was a gift. It was precious because it was a gift. Like I said, I was humbled by it. Like, no, please. They're like, no. Okay. I don't want to go through my whole life hoarding all these riches and putting my hopes in all these things. And then when I die and stand before God, when God translates it, it's just like pence. It's just like pence. I'm like, God said, no, that's not praiseworthy. But you know what he says this? He says this. Every single one of his children, every single Christian, whether you've been saved a day or you've been saved 100 years and a day, when you go for a trial, every trial is making you more like gold. And one day you're going to stand before the King of Kings, and then we're going to see the richness of your soul. And he said he's going to be praiseworthy. God's going to say that's praiseworthy. And we're all going to know today, we've been given a new hope in Jesus Christ. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.